Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, July 9th, 2001. In the fireside room this afternoon is Peggy Schultz Ackerson. Today's session number is SCP 2001-01, and it's entitled, What is Spiritual Direction? Let's listen in.
Welcome this afternoon. Did anyone get a good nap? A good hike? A good nap. Good. I'm Peg Schultz Ackerson, and this time together we'll be reflecting on what spiritual direction is. There's many definitions of it, but we're going to look at that from a variety of different ways and share together around that. So, and I welcome you. Delighted to have you here and interested in the whole area and topic of spiritual growth and spirituality. I'm a Lutheran pastor. My congregation is Messiah Lutheran Church in Pasadena, California, and we're having an interesting time there, trying to pay attention to where the Holy Spirit is moving us as the neighborhood has changed dramatically, and working with that and delighted with the opportunities that we have in the midst of that setting. My experience with spiritual direction as I was trained through the Archdiocese of Los Angeles through the Mount St. Mary's program. And I'm also a trained labyrinth facilitator. And during this week, I don't know if any of you know much about the labyrinth. There is one here out in the ballpark area. Have some of you walked it since you've been here? One of two. Okay, two of you have. Good. Well, there will be opportunity for that during the week, at least on Saturday, and you can walk it at other times. But if you have any questions about that, I'll be around for the next 3 weeks, and we'll be delighted to share with you on that. If there is interest in that topic, to know more about the labyrinth, we can do more in terms of history and all that as well. So if you want that kind of thing, let me know. I'll be around. But what we're going to focus on now is the what is being called, most often it's called spiritual direction. Some call it spiritual friendship, spiritual companioning. There's different words for it. But I'd like to have an idea of how much you all know about that. I know we have one trained spiritual director here also who could lead this workshop, I'm sure. So and I hope you'll add to it as we go along. And I'm glad you're here, too. But others of you, how much do you know about the area of spiritual direction on this? If 10 is you know a lot and 1 is you know none, how many 10s do we have? We have 1 10 here, but any 9s?
Here's a 1.
Oh, there's a 1. All right, we have a 1. How many other 1s do we have? All right, we have a number of 1s. Good, so we can start with the basics. Good. So how many like 2s, 3s, some 4s? Any 4s? So, okay, some 4s in there. About some 7s. All right, good. There's some that have some experience. Have some of you been in a direction relationship where you've been receiving spiritual direction? A few of you have. One has, anyway. Okay.
You're almost going to have to define your vocabulary before we know how to answer.
Okay.
When you say we receive spiritual directions, I don't know what you mean.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you. Let's get in with that. So we'll start with that. That's a very good way to begin. I remember being on a Synod Council meeting, and one of the members of our church, in the Lutheran Church, one of the members who's a very active member of her congregation, and she was saying that, my church doesn't offer anything related to spirituality. if I want to get something related to spirituality, I need to go to the Catholic Church. And that was her perception of it. And as we talked further and as I got to know her, we explored the possibilities of what her church does offer in terms of Bible study, in terms of prayer in general, in terms of preaching and worship and coming to the sacrament of Holy Communion, and that we don't talk about that often amongst Protestants so much as spirituality, but it's very much spirituality. The word and sacrament ministry, the worship and the life that we share together. This morning in the Bible study, I don't know how many of you were here for the Bible study this morning. Some of you were. We were studying Isaiah 43, which includes the theme that we have for Holden right now, that you have called me by name, and though you walk through waters, you will not be alone. And we were reflecting on that. There's a lot of spiritual direction that can happen within a Bible study in terms of a broad definition of that term. And I like to use a broad definition of the term. There are some classic people of spiritual direction who would maybe define it in a smaller kind of a way. But for what I want to talk about is I like a broad definition of an understanding of spiritual direction, that it can come to us in a variety of ways. It has to do with intentionality, that we desire and hunger a sense of intentionality about paying attention to God's presence and connection with us in our lives. So if you think about even the Bible study this morning, don't be afraid. I have called you by name. You are mine. To hear that, to study that, to be in the scripture together and have a teacher doing that, that in a way, in a broad definition of spiritual direction, can be understood as spiritual direction. If we're paying attention to it as I come to this Bible study because I want to grow in my faith, I want there to be guidance for me as we hunger with that. All of us have spiritual yearning. God has given all of us spiritual yearning. We respond to that in a variety of different ways. You probably all know the phrase by Augustine, you know, that says that our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, O God. And I think that's really true. There's a hunger in all of us, but we'll look for it in a variety of ways. My own experience, I grew up in the church. I was baptized when I was 6 months old by Pastor Carl Segerhammer at Angelica Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, and was brought up in a family that I had that gift of being a part of the church. But when I was in college, I went to California Lutheran University and knew of my hunger. I was a part of, you know, I was attentive to spiritual questions. But I remember when I was 17, when I went to college, and there was a period in the first year of that when it would be early afternoon, when there would be beginning some sense of yearning that I could be aware of in my own spirit. And I could, and I tried all these variety of things out. We had a little kitchen in the dorm. I could go in and make brownies, and I could eat brownies or make them for somebody else and kind of feed that yearning in that way. Or I could go jogging, and I tried that, and I still jog, and jogging's great. Or I could go out and socialize. You know, the classes were done for the day, and I could go out and do that. Or work on my homework. Or I could go into my room and read a book that I was reading in that time called Come Away, My Beloved. And it had this phrase in it that said, never tarry for an opportunity to be alone with me. It was as if God was talking. Never tarry for an opportunity to be alone with me. Things are of less importance than you think. And in that point in my life, that kind of word that came to me came as a kind of spiritual direction for me. And what I did then was develop what my now husband calls my 4 o'clock hour. And so I learned by the process of trial and error that that's what fed me the most, was to go into my room and take a half hour of quiet time, and then I could go on into the evening and have renewed energy. And but I didn't have at that time what we would now call a spiritual director who was telling me to do that. It was by my own sense of walking with myself and paying attention to that and yearning for that, that I came to that pattern. And I've kind of kept that now for 30-some years, to take a time away. But during those years when I was in college, the campus pastor, who's also a Holdenite, he's on the board here of Holden, Jerry Swanson, he was the campus pastor, and in our relationship, he got to know me as this young 17-year-old student, and, you know, what my yearnings were, and he would listen to me, would listen about what I was talking about, what was stirring in me, and he would offer suggestions of things that I might read. He introduced me to Thomas Merton, to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and would talk with me as I would then read these books and reflect on them. And, well, what is this? You know, how do I deal with that? And it was in that listening relationship with him that I really learned what I think is spiritual direction. And so I learned about it not by reading the books on it. And there weren't as many books back in the 70s on spiritual direction. There's a lot more of them now. But I learned it by my own experience of it. And the kind of wisdom that I learned from Jerry and finding a person that I deeply admired his own life, his own way of living, and could learn from that. One of the things about spiritual direction that is written in one of the books about it suggests that in terms of finding someone who would be a spiritual director for you, that you would look carefully for that person, that it isn't just, you know, just anyone who would match that kind of need for you, but someone who you would trust. And there's a quote about someone who, or it was the Dalai Lama who says this, that you should spy on your teachers before you sign them up. And I thought that was a good phrase. And then there's an old Jewish saying that says, I went all the way to Lithuania to study with the great rabbi. It was worth going to see how he tied his shoes. And that kind of a person that can be one that can serve in that way, to really model something after. Thomas Merton, who's a late Trappist monk, have some of you read Thomas Merton a bit? If you're interested in him, I know there's books on him in the library here. But he wrote a book on spiritual direction. And in that book, his understanding is that this book, that spiritual direction is intended for the clergy, because the laity are supposed to be receiving direction from their clergy. And so the art of spiritual direction, as he writes it in that book, was intended for those who are serving as pastors for others. And so it's written in that way, as if the laity don't need concrete spiritual direction because they're getting that from their pastors. And to a degree, I agree with that. If we have that kind of time with, if pastors have that kind of time with their parishioners, if the numbers of the church members were small enough that you could really get to know them, what are their yearnings, so that you could offer that kind of spiritual guidance and direction. But at the same time, not all pastors have the particular kind of gift to relate on that kind of way to people. Pastors have a variety of gifts that they serve in a variety of ways. But in Merton's book, it's still a useful book in the sense of how he talks about the role of partnering with someone to pay attention to where God is in your life. And that the preaching, and for, I know not all of us, but many of us at Holden aren't Lutherans, but for a Lutheran perspective on this, for Luther, the preaching of the word was clearly a way in which direction is given. And for those of you that were here last night, some of you came in just today. Did some of you come in just today? Well, last night at worship, the preaching was very much a spiritual direction kind of sermon. And I don't know that he would say that about it or intended it that way, but the whole image of carry no, remember what it was? Carry no
purse,
no sandals, no money, you know, with a sense of go out there, you know, be the servants of God that Jesus is sending them out to be, and don't worry about all these things that you don't have, so you don't have enough money, so you don't have enough experience, so you don't know all the answers to everything. None of those are excuses for getting not getting out there. And the role of a spiritual director then could add on to that is for a person then to be in a listening relationship with someone. In the sermon last night, I was hearing this in that sermon, and this is what it was saying to me, and having a listening partner sit and listen with you as to how to reflect on that sermon so that you take even more out of it as you, how does that speak to me in my life and my ministry that God has called me to out in the world? And so the Word and Sacrament ministry is a valuable central part. Now, not everyone goes to church. Not everyone hears sermons. And so spiritual direction becomes, as an art or as a particular kind of vocation, becomes an opportunity to widen the doors in that way. Some people may even come to church by way of spiritual direction. And so it becomes another welcoming way of welcoming people. Luther's large and small catechisms are both written in such a way that they're really meant as teaching resources, as spiritual direction. They're not often used that way, but there's much in there. In the third article of the Creed, Luther's explanation of the third article of the Creed, he writes in there that I believe by my own effort I cannot come to Jesus Christ. I cannot believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But it's the Holy Spirit who calls me through the gospel and enlightens me. And just as the Holy Spirit calls, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, that it's the Holy Spirit's work. It's God who calls us and works with us. But we still have the opportunity and the responsibility to be attentive to that. Now, I want to ask us to do something in just little groups in a minute. And I want to share a little story with you and then see if maybe you have any response to it in your own lives. But I was getting my hair cut. This was a number of years ago, by a guy who had been coming to our church. He was what they call a C&E Christian. You know what those are? Christmas and Easter, right. And but he had invited me to come to his, what do you call it? Beauty shop, I guess. Salon, whatever it was. And he had really built up his business and was really doing well and was good at this, you know. And so I don't know whether he was telling me he didn't like my haircut or what. But anyway, he invited me to come, and so I went. And I'm sitting there, and he says to me, you know, Pastor Peg, you really should be more diligent about your hair care. And I thought, yes, Doug, I'm sure you're right. It is not a priority for me in my life. It just wasn't a top priority, you know. If I went once a year, it'd be enough for me. But as I thought, he used the word diligent. And in the service for the ordination to Word and Sacrament Ministry, there's a question that's asked of those who are being ordained. Will you be diligent? Use that same word. Doug didn't know that, but it used that same word. Will you be diligent in your use of the means of grace and in prayer? And I thought, who has ever asked me or told me, you know, you need to be more diligent in your prayer? And I was wondering, who really has ever held me accountable in the way he was trying to hold me accountable for my hair care? And I thought, and him, how can I, as his occasional pastor, hold him accountable for his spiritual care without him feeling that I'm being judgmental or law-oriented? How can I do that in a way with him that is seen as a gift and a positive thing? Well, about 6 years later, we had moved and were no longer his pastor, even his occasional one, but I received a letter in the mail, and I saw his name up there, but I did not recognize the address at all. It was a completely different town. And when I opened it up, it was from Doug, and he had been incarcerated for embezzlement. And he was writing to me about the decisions he had made in his life, and how he now was seeing, you know, some of what I was trying to work on with him, you know. And that he was writing to me was quite a gift, that he had turned to me at this time and that he was ready now. But the little seeds of direction or whatever that were given in our time together were important. But what it says to me is how we all need support and help in our lives. And if he had been guided more to, in terms of where is God in your life as he's trying to build up his vocation and was so worried about making enough money so that he got involved in this embezzlement stuff, you know, that if there had been other kinds of guidance for his life and for his now being open to it. And spiritual direction gives an opportunity for that kind of thing. But what I want you to do with each other for just a few minutes, if you would turn with a neighbor next to you, and if you need to be in threes, that's okay. Maybe the two of you, and then if the three of you would go together so we mix you up a little. What I'd like you to talk about with each other is, when have you been held accountable? What holds you accountable in terms of your spiritual growth? And when have you experienced that in a way that has helped you want to grow with it? So talk with each other about that. Have you ever felt held accountable? Share that with your neighbor for just a... Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the only time I'm going to do it.
Thank you.
If I could invite you to close, bring your conversations to a... We draw our conversations to a close. Are there a few that might share a little of some of what you were sharing? Is there someone that has an experience that you have been held? Any sharing from that you would want to do?
Well, I like what one of our people said, that in a time in life when the troubles were the very, very worst, or the very tough time in life, that's when she felt to really look at herself, when she was at the bottom. And then she had to look at herself and be accountable for decisions and really make some decisions.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When she was going through the waters. Yeah, that Isaiah speaks about. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Yes. Yes.
Take me. I think it's about a little more than a year ago, our congregation embarked on a type of small group ministry called Christ Care. And we have been an active part of a Christ Care group now for a year and a half or so. And that has been very powerful for us, and has, through the accountability to each other, to be there, to be there for each other, to support each other, and to pray together for common concerns. It's been, I think, a real. It's enabled us to grow a great deal in our spiritual growth, mm-hmm. faith.
Mm-hmm. So it's in a group? So it's like a
small group. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Ours is what, 10? 12.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. I'm glad you're having that experience. Good.
We have a small group too, and the same thing. It's been wonderful. Mm-hmm. The support that you get and you give, the study that we do. We did the commandments this year, uh-huh. and looked at them all from everybody's different perspective.
Uh-huh. And would you call it a kind of spiritual support group?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Uh-huh. Anyone else from your group sharing?
Well, one of the women in our group is too shy to tell you, but she... In her church, a small group of people had decided to visit a migrant camp. And they went and they had things for the kids to do, a time for singing, a time for praying, a time to play. And they would bring things to the kids. And she said it's opened her eyes to see, you know, how little these people have and how much they have. And so just that opening of the new eyes. But then the thing that I think was remarkable about what she did, this woman was talking about it with her dentist and told the dentist about it. And so now he's involved and he's giving dental care to these people. Mm. Mm. So you just, you know, one, it just takes one little idea and then, oh, it can just blossom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by sharing that with each other, if she hadn't told that to her dentist and if he hadn't listened to her... so it's by that kind of communication. Yeah, good. Anything else on where you were? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, which is one of my favorite books in terms of my own spiritual life, I read it about 5 times, and it's but this part never really stood out to me. I always focused on the first part of his book, where he talks about Christian community is not a human ideal, but a divine reality. But later in his books, he talks about the ministry of listening. And Bonhoeffer is a Lutheran pastor who was martyred during World War II. And but what he says in here is that the first service that one owes to others in the fellowship consists in listening to them. Just as love to God begins with listening to God's word, so the beginning of love for our brothers and sisters is learning to listen to them. It is God's love for us that God not only gives us the word, but also lends us God's ear. One of the people who defines spiritual direction, in her definition of spiritual direction, it's about becoming the eyes and the ears and the heart in companionship with another. And so that what you're doing is sitting and listening with the other and with your heart and your eyes and focusing on what's going on in their life. One person says about their spiritual direction that when she goes to, or he goes to the spiritual director, it says, I bring him my latest crises and dilemmas, and we work them through always with an eye to where the divine is. Spiritual direction is, another person defines the difference. This is Maureen Conroy in Growing in Love and Freedom. And she says that spiritual direction and counseling appear to be quite similar. But she says spiritual directors are not therapists and spiritual direction is not therapy. Both deal with a person's life experiences. Both move the person towards an improved outlook on life, inner peace, resolution of a crisis or conflict, inner healing, integration, and wholeness. The basic difference between spiritual direction, as it would be defined, and counseling is the attentiveness to and absorption in God. Direction primarily focuses in a growing relationship with God that leads to greater integration of one's inner being and outer life. And she adds, spiritual direction is about discerning, and I liked this phrase, the fingerprints of God in our lives. It's not about belief, it's about encounter. And as a Lutheran, for me anyway, it being encountered by the Word of God is what Luther would talk about a lot. And that the Word of God is a living Word, that it addresses us, that encounters us, and that we have to respond to, and that then changes us, so that it's a matter of transformation always. And so for me, what spiritual direction is being in relationship with one who will help me try to stay open to God's desire to address me in my life, God's desire to encounter me in all the ways that God can encounter us. And we would say in the church that God particularly encounters us through the Word and the Sacrament. But in all kinds of ways, God comes and encounters us. And our participation in that is to keep our eyes and our ears open to how God is encountering us. You know, so that you can begin the day as my mom did as I was growing up. You know, she'd always say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Even if we were not wanting to go to school that day. And she'd say, well, we will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, that we will somehow be open to the encounter of God with us. This is the day that the Lord has made. And so it, to me, it has to do with being open to that kind of encounter. And Bonhoeffer goes on to talk more about that. He says, many people are looking for an ear that will listen. And, you know, someone has said, you know, that God only gave us one mouth and two
ears.
You know, that there's something about that, you know, that what we really need, what I think our society hungers for is people who will listen to them, who will deeply take the time that it takes to really listen. Now, Bonhoeffer was writing in the 40s, but I think this is still very relevant for today. He says, there is a kind of listening with half an ear. Have you ever felt listened to with half an ear?
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's a very common experience that we feel listened to with half an ear, or maybe even a quarter of an ear sometimes. But he says there's a kind of listening with half an ear that presumes already to know what the other person has to say. It is an impatient, inattentive listening that despises the brother or sister and is only waiting for a chance to speak and thus get rid of the other person. This is no fulfillment of our obligation, says Bonhoeffer, and it is certain that here too our attitude towards each other only reflects our relationship to God. It is little wonder that we are no longer capable of the greatest service. This is what he calls listening, the greatest service that we can give each other, the greatest service of listening that God has committed to us. And then he talks about how, you know, there's therapy, and many people are attracted to that. But he says that Christians have often forgotten the ministry of listening that has been committed to us by God, who is the greatest listener, or the great listener, and whose work we should share. And then he closes this section with the statement, we should listen with the ears of God, so that we may speak the word of God. And it is on behalf of the word, in the sense, for the intention of opening each other or helping each other stay open to the encounter of God. And that's what I hunger for in a spiritual director, is one who will give me the time that it takes to sit and listen. And sometimes it does take us a long time to get to what we're really needing to say. And to have someone who will have the patience of sitting and listening with us as we filter through things with the eye of where is God in this? Where's the fingerprint of God in this for me in my life? In these experiences, that so that as you would be in a direction relationship, the role of the other person is to listen with you. They're not to give you all the answers to anything, but they're to help ask the right questions with you so that you can keep focusing deeper and deeper. There's a story in the Bible that I know you all know, in John 4, of the story of the Good Samaritan. And in that story, I think it's really a story of spiritual direction. In the story, when Jesus encounters the woman at the well, and he asks her for some water, and then back and forth go these questions, you know, who are you to ask this of me, a woman of Samaria? And Jesus answers back, and then she asks another question. And back and forth they go with question and answer, but the distinction about the kind of dialogue that's going on between Jesus and this woman of Samaria is that the questions are not questions that are the phrase rabbits that you chase off in another direction that take you away from going deeper, but the questions are each question moves the dialogue deeper. And that's what the role of the spiritual director is to help you. What? Okay, I'm looking at it this way. Now, how can I look at it to move that a little bit deeper? And then how can I look at it to look at it a little bit deeper? And so it's an invitation to keep carving deeper so that we become Grand Canyons with each other for the water as the water keeps going, carving us deeper in our lives. And so that's what, to me, spiritual direction is. It's that deepening dialogue with one who will listen with us and invite us into that. Now, the effort of finding a spiritual director, you know, I experienced receiving direction by my pastor as I was a 17-year-old in college. But I'm a unique person of who I am, and it happened to work out that way. He didn't know he was being my spiritual director. I didn't know he was either. But in retrospect, I know that was what was happening. But I had to be more intentional as I went on, even through seminary. And when I was in seminary, Sister Marianne Donovan, who teaches at the Jesuit school in Berkeley, was my spiritual director. And I had to seek her out. I had to find someone who would sit and give that intentional kind of time and who felt called to that and who would commit that relationship to me in that time. And so it is something that is becoming of greater interest to people, for people to intentionally find someone who will be in that particular role. We can do that with each other as friends in a casual kind of way, and in these groups that are wonderful, meaningful experiences. And in addition to that, some people find that it's very helpful for them to meet with someone, and it's often on a once-a-month basis for an hour. It's not a huge time, but it's intentionality that's the key thing. And spiritual centers around the world are coming up. There's many more of them now than there used to be, where they will have on staff, and even Holden is exploring that. That's what they're exploring this summer. What would it be like for Holden to have someone who feels called into that kind of ministry, who will open up their schedule to be called by the community to be intentional about sitting with people in that relationship? And I know it in California at the Holy Spirit Retreat Center in Encino, they had a spiritual director there who couldn't meet all the demand. And so they brought me on as adjunct staff part-time to fill up her overload. And what they were finding is that she had enough overload of Protestants that were going to the Catholic retreat centers because they didn't know where else to go to receive this. And one of the things I found funny was that one of the referrals we got was a person who called our synod office, the Lutheran synod office, asking for someone who could do spiritual direction. Well, they said, call the Holy Spirit Retreat Center. So she called the Holy Spirit Retreat Center, and she got me, who's a Lutheran pastor, on adjunct staff at the Holy Spirit Retreat Center, which is a Catholic Sisters of Social Services. But they didn't, at that point, and we still have few designated spiritual directors within the Lutheran community. We're just beginning to move in that kind of direction. I think that as we do that, we do need to be careful that we have people that have some training related to this and that are called by a community into it rather than just kind of self-appointed people, because then I think you run into dangerous kinds of things, because people are entrusting themselves to a person who would be with them. And so it needs to be a safe and kind of supported. And that's, I think, one of the challenges before us in communities that don't have it set up. I mean, the Catholic Church has a better kind of accountability set up and how they support that ministry and how they do that. And as it broadens into some other ways, I think we need to not be sloppy about the accountability efforts. And I don't know if you have some things to say about that kind of thing with your training,
too. No, I agree with you completely, because I think there's a lot of people out there with new thought, or a lot of people deem themselves spiritual directors.
I need a sip of water. Could I borrow that?
I think maybe one of the things that I could add, because I am a therapist and I am a spiritual director, and the difference between therapy and spiritual direction is vast. Because when I'm a therapist, I'm much more objective, and I'm further away from my clients, and I'm more observing of their behavior. But in spiritual direction, I'm very intimate, I'm very close with them, and I'm constantly working on a completely different level.
I don't understand that. Explain it to me. I want to know what you mean by the difference between the spiritual. Now, if I come to you for this, what are you going to do? You know.
As a spiritual director?
Yeah, as a spiritual director, if I went to you, how does it work?
If you're in the midst of deep kinds of marital crisis, or you're, I'm going to refer you to a trained therapist. I'm not a trained therapist mm-hmm. to deal with that. If you are feeling, you know, my prayer life has just dried up. God has abandoned me. Mm-hmm. You know, or you have these kinds of, I would invite you to look at that. The dryness in a prayer life is a good place to be. It's not a bad place. Mm-hmm. Because that's when God can move you deeper and feed you deeper as you're open to it in the midst of the dryness. And so I would work on it in terms of that. Where's your prayer life at? How are you being open to God's encounter to you? What kinds of things, you know, could you do to help you stay focused on that? And let a therapist work on you with, you know, some of these
and
other
so
issues.
You don't, it's not therapy.
Right.
Okay,
But it has therapeutic aspects to it in the sense that its goal is to part of the benefits of it is that it helps free us to be more who we're meant to be. And therapy is meant to do that too. You know, the true self and the false self kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So there is an interaction and an integration between spiritual direction and therapy. But they focus on a different kind of emphasis. And for spiritual direction, the question is, where is God in this? And how would you define the difference there yourself?
Between therapy and between the... I think you did a beautiful job explaining that. I do. Because it is, for me, like I say, spiritual direction is much more intimate, and we are in the presence of God, and we both know that we're in the presence of God. And sometimes when I'm in therapy, it's a very secular client, and they're not really interested in what's mm-hmm. happening with God. I know that God's there.
And there can be Christian therapists. There are many wonderful Christian therapists, and spiritual direction is not in opposition to therapy in any way. And many people are in therapy and direction, both. And but it's the focus, and that it's about where is the fingerprint of God in this. And so if you were to meet with me, that's what I'd want to sit with you around. And what is your... It could be you want to reflect on a scripture passage together. You know, this has been, you know, this has been, what is this saying? This somehow has caught me. Or this, you know, maybe you're reflecting on a reading that you're doing by somebody that, you know, even a Bonhoeffer phrase. You know, there's something in this. I don't know quite what it is. And to have someone sit and, you know, chew on it with you in terms of where is God calling you with this, and being open to that. Yes, sir.
I'm having a little bit of difficulty figuring out where we're going with this in a sense. Because I can view it from the side, okay, I would like to know or be more aware of that spiritual aspects as they occur, you know, off and on throughout my life. From a personal, not from a professional standpoint. Maybe. I get the feeling here we go talking, you know, professional down, you know, in a range where I'm getting a little bit confused on. As an example, I've been coming to Holden off and on for 40 years.
Good for you.
And in that process, my viewpoints have changed considerably from what they were when I first started. And I found some very important spiritual directions through the various speakers that we've had throughout that time. And I think both my wife and I have been, you know, led along the way And we've been open to some of the suggestions of, you know, just their talking. I'm open to what you're saying. You're listening. I agree with that. But individually, we're all looking for something for ourselves, not from the standpoint of a professional, but listening to our neighbor, whatever else. Yeah, and I know you're saying that in a sense, but I'm not looking for somebody who's got an office somewhere and say, I'm going in here for spiritual direction. Because I find it in a lot of places other than there.
Good for you. And what I'm saying is that it can be both, that there are some people that need or want this concrete kind of relationship with, I'm going to deal with that with my spiritual director next Tuesday at 4. When they have a question during the month, when they're being open to all this all month long, but they know there's someone who has set aside time for them that they can, you know, mill over these things with,
well,
and
I'm
that will...
I'm not sure how many of us have somebody like that.
That's right. No.
I'm talking about the kind of thing where there's all those aha moments you have in your life where you're suddenly aware, hey, there's something here. As you mentioned, reading a book. There's some of the books I've read, I've had that same feeling. Hey, here's something brand new to me. Open a new vista.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm not sure that I need to have somebody available to run to all the time.
No. I think he does. Yeah. Right.
Well, send him down.
That's right.
Every time it's all that dumb sweet, but anyway.
Yeah, no, great. And there's both. There is a now kind of discipline called spiritual direction. That is being talked about in a concrete way that people are getting trained for to do this particular kind of ministry that people can.
And so we should be aware of that.
Sign up that, you know, that is a ministry that's being offered in certain places, and now Holden has it. And if you would, during this summer, if you want to sign up for 1 hour to sit down and chew over some book phrase that you're wondering with, you know, but it is not at all to say that we can't all do that in an doesn't have to be a professional relationship, but that I hope we continue to do that kind of conversation and consolation, even that Luther talked about, that we continue to grow with each other, that these groups are very important, that you and your wife, as you talk together, my husband and I do a lot of this kind of reflection together, that is, and you may not ever want to have that kind of spiritual direction relationship. There have been many years in my life when I haven't had one either. There's been certain times when I have and certain times when I haven't. And so it's just an opportunity that's getting more concrete now that we're trying to help people understand as another option for them, not a requirement, and not to replace the ongoing growth, like you say, that Holden can provide and that teaching provides and preaching provides and all these other things. So, yes.
Well, I'm just kind of piggybacking on that. I think there is some issues around it that are confusing and could be somewhat troubling in that from the Catholic tradition, this was something, it was a vocational call. Oftentimes in the context of the priesthood or in a nunnery or something. And the new evolution of this has become something where you can hang out a shingle and you get fees just like in therapy. And that becomes very confusing when you see it more as a discipline of the church or a tradition. And I think that is maybe a little bit of what, you know, why... You know, do I go pay somebody to tell me these things when I have, you know, my pastor or some lay person that feels called in this area or whatever?
Right.
And so I think that's a very delicate area when you talk about moving ahead and having some, you know, not just everybody should be able to do this, but again, on the other hand, you can go too far and say, you know, get these conditions or credentials or certification, and therefore then you can charge, you know, $75 an hour and whatever.
Right.
So
these are very real questions, and where we're at in terms of moving it from, you know, kind of where The Roman Catholic Church had it, right, and as we're exploring using it in a wider way, that we're needing, these are exactly my questions. Your questions are the same questions I've had, and that how do we do this, you know, and if we're going to do it, and if people are going to put a shingle out and say that, you know, that I think we need to be very careful about that, and that we can, like I said, my experience of it began with, you know, my pastor paying attention to where I was at in my spiritual life, you know, and that is spiritual direction. And but there is this growing movement of it as a, quote, you know, discipline. And so it is, how do we dialogue with that, those within the Protestant tradition that haven't come from it as a, you know, I don't know any places where, there may be some, but where Lutheran churches or Methodists or Presbyterians, you know, have it set up where it's a called, paid, kind of trained position. But they are getting trained through the Catholic resources. And then how do we use them?
There are people out there who are doing it.
Right.
Hopefully, you know,
right,
making a life.
Right. And so we're trying to talk about it just so we'll understand it better and see what the resources are and why utilize it if you want to, what the benefits of it are, but how to not in any way take away from the calling we have. When Bonhoeffer writes about it in here, he's not talking about it as a separate, he's talking about it within the fellowship, how we need to listen to each other and take that seriously. And but this is a, maybe this new development of it is a response to our overly busy society where we don't take the time to sit and talk over dinner, where you can chew over things as much as we need to. And you know, that it may be that some of this is coming as a hunger in our society because we're so hungry to have people take to seriously listen with us about these kinds of questions. But I absolutely agree with you that it is confusing, even to me, trying to understand this, you know. And even as I've been asked by people, you know, well, why don't you do some of this? What, you know, that, well, why? You know, I'm doing it anyway. I mean, I'm a pastor, you know. And then trying to understand the need that was being asked for myself, of me. And there's been many years in my ministry that I haven't done any, quote, separate spiritual direction, you know, but I'm hoping that I'm doing that for the people that are members of my church as I preach and teach and live with them. I mean, so I totally agree with you that it is unclear in terms of making a clear category about it, but we're trying to react to what is happening in our society, and it is happening. It's a growing thing where there's training. You can read about it in magazines, get spiritual direction training through, I know they have it in a number of places in California. I'm a Californian, I'm sure they have it elsewhere, but Oregon.
Yeah, I was trained in a Quaker university. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what you say, I think, is in terms of it being a vocation for the Catholics, I think that's true. And I would like to be able to offer it free. And what I do is I offer a sliding scale so no one is without it. But I do need to be paid for my time. I spend a lot of time in school. You know, and I think about that. Like with pastors, years ago, pastors were never paid a living wage. And because you work with the church and because you work with spirituality, somehow it doesn't have a monetary value. And I agree that it doesn't. And you'd like to do it for free. But you know, my circumstances say I can't do that.
And then the other problem with doing it free, if there's, you know, then people are doing it, and where's the accountability thing that becomes an important thing? How do we take it seriously if we're doing it as kind of a thing? But we need to not at all neglect the kind of conversation that we will have even over dinner tonight, you know, where we do that kind of listening with each other.
You talk about listening being such an important part of it. How do you see the Stevens Ministry Program, which many, many, many churches are doing now,
I'm not involved in it in my church, but it's there. And I know they have many hours of training involved in that. And I know that I hear them talking. It's got something to do with listening. How do you see the Stevens Ministry fitting into what you're saying?
I think the Stevens Ministry is a wonderful program. And if your churches are doing it and taking it seriously and getting the training, it is a very valuable program. And I think it relates in the ways of that Bonhoeffer's talking about, our need to listen to each other. And I think that what's unique about what, if you call it a, what would be the way of saying it, the official kind of way that some people are talking about spiritual direction, that the way that's different from Stephen Ministry is that it's generally meant to be a kind of covenanted relationship that you meet over time with the person. Now, what we're doing here is I'm available for 3 weeks here, and there'll be a different person throughout the summer, you know, who you can sign up to spend an hour in which I will be there to listen with you. And but in Stephen Ministry, the Stephen ministers have certain people they meet with, but it's not necessarily intended to be that to be a Stephen minister that you need to even know how to help a person ask the next questions as to what kinds of questions will help move them deeper. I mean, that Stephen ministry is meant to be companionship and to pray with them, to care for them. But in terms of, at least the people that I know that are doing Stephen ministry, they wouldn't say that they would even know in the training. It doesn't exactly train you even how to necessarily invite the questions and do it in the same kind of a way. But I think there's similarities in the value of listening, all the ways that we can deeply listen to each other. Did you have a question?
I was just going to dovetail with what you were going to say. I think it has to do with what you said initially, that the spiritual direction is more of an intentionality to ask the question, where is God presently in your life? That's not necessarily the intention of Stephen Ministry. Mm-hmm. Stephen Ministry is to be involved with crisis, and the listening is a very basic component of Stephen Ministry. They're not supposed to be therapists to fix anything, but at the same time, it is also based around crisis and a particular issue in a particular person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And the Stephen minister, while he or she could bring in scriptural references, it's not necessarily demanded.
Mm-hmm.
And it is based on the quality of the relationship that is developed between the person who asks for Stephen ministry, and
yeah,
usually based around a crisis of one sort.
Right. Whereas spiritual direction would be something that would take you, you know, some people have had the same director for 5-10 years, you know, and that they walk with them through the ups and the downs but we also have other people that do that with us, you know, and that you may never have a spiritual director in that kind of academic phrase, but hopefully we all have people who will listen with us deeply so that we can grow and be who God calls us to be. And that's what we want. We want to be, you know, open to God encountering us. Yes?
I had another follow-up question, and it perhaps relates to the life of a pastor. In terms of spiritual direction, granted that a lot of the things that pastors do can and are understood as spiritual direction, but there's a whole bunch of administrative and research and all that other kind of stuff. Even with your training and your intentionality about this, and I don't know what the context of your call is, whether you're a senior, single pastor or multiple staff, how much of your time is actually spent in spiritual direction?
I'm not doing that in my congregation now at all. It's not the focus of my ministry with my congregation. I don't have a in that category of spiritual direction, a spiritual direction relationship with my members, in what I meet individually with these few people, because it's a very intense relationship. And when I was doing it through the Holy Spirit Retreat Center, those were people who were not members of my church, and I was part-time in my congregation. And so there's a different thing there. I think it is a big issue for congregations with pastors, because you're having that kind of intense time with this person and this person, but as a pastor, you need to be looking at the whole flock together, you know, and caring for that. So I think there's real important things to think about related to that, you know, how you do that. I think you can
To me, it raises broader issues about the makeup of congregations.
Uh-huh.
You know, how we exist, why.
Right.
And whether we're primarily organizational Christians, or whether there's other aspects to how we try to develop the Church of Christ in the world.
Right. And it could be that there are lay people in the church that have a specific calling to spiritual direction too, and or certain pastors in a synod. I mean, it could be that that's what we do, is we encourage people to be attentive to who has these gifts amongst the clergy or the laity in our synod, and lift them up so that they could be resources, or we could make referrals to them. But I would agree that if we turn pastors into just CEOs working on the administrative stuff, and they don't do any of the listening and the, you know, I mean, that's, we're losing a lot. So, but yes. So.